You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
No excuses. You would think that a Rockets team that entered Thursday night having won 5 consecutive games and 10 of their last 11, but suddenly without both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon playing on the road against the defending champion Golden State Warriors with 4 All-Stars, 2 former MVPs and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant at home, extremely motivated to avenge a loss to the Rockets, their biggest competition back in November, and avoid falling in potentially a perilous state in regards to a potential tiebreaker between the two teams, you would think the Rockets would see this as a schedule loss, especially once they fell behind by 20 points early in the second half. Nope. When you have James Harden, you have a chance. And boy, did he ever show that on Thursday night, a game that the Rockets somehow rallied to win 135-134 over the 2-time defending champion Warriors at Oracle Arena. James Harden, without a single other All-Star in their career on his team, beat a team with 4 of them, including 2 former MVPs in Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. I am at a loss for words, and of course, Harden did it in style with a crossover 3 over both Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, down by 2 points with 1 second left in overtime. I'm stunned. And no, it wasn't a lucky shot by any stretch of the imagination. Even if you want to say that, well, it's one play. Okay, well, he was down 2 with under 40 seconds to go, got to the line, made both free throws. When they were down 6 with barely over a minute left to go in regulation, Clint Capella got an and one, and then Harden hit the step back 3 that ultimately forced overtime. So in regulation, with about 30 seconds to go in overtime, and then the final shot, even after a dubious sequence with the officials, James Harden found a way. He willed his team to the finish line, and as a result of it, the Rockets are now somehow 6-0 without Chris Paul, and they have won 11 of their past 12 games to improve to 22-15 on the year, and somehow are just one game back of the Warriors, who fall to 25-14. With that, welcome in to a joyous post-game episode of Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. I did not plan on doing a late Thursday night slash early Friday morning show. My plan, as stated earlier today after my Austin Rivers podcast with Hunter Atkins, was to delay our Warriors recap until Friday. That was in part because I expected this as a potential loss for the Rockets just based on not having enough bodies. No Chris Paul, no Eric Gordon. Fortunately for all of us, James Harden had other plans. And to me, he's far and away the leading story. There were some other things to take out of it. When you beat the Golden State Warriors in overtime, you can't do it alone. Certainly Clint Capella, who had 29 and 21, he showed something. Austin Rivers, Daniel House, really up and down the roster. The Rockets had contributions. It took a village to get this one. But ultimately, our first segment of our usual 3 points recap, it's all about James Harden. Because 44 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds, 10 of 23 from behind the arc. This is staggering. It's his 5th consecutive 40-plus point game. It's his 9th consecutive, I believe, of 35-plus points and 5-plus assists. He's now at 11 straight games, averaging better than 40 points per game. It's just absolutely stunning what he is doing on the basketball floor right now. He's breaking or tying records that were previously held by the likes of Oscar Robertson, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. We've been over them for days, and I haven't had time to look yet as far as what new ones he set tonight. Stay tuned to my Twitter feed and others, at Ben Dubose, and really all across Rockets Twitter, if you want to get the scoop on that front. My initial reaction is largely focused on what the win means for the Rockets as a team, and also for James individually. Because in my opinion, what this does above all else, it should shatter the narrative that James Harden is not a clutch player. Now, I think that's largely been foolish for a long time, because there's a lot of folks, as we've seen this year, that even when he plays extremely well, want reasons not to like him. And so games like the end of Game 5 in San Antonio a couple of years ago, in which he may well have been concussed, And then game six, when the Rockets were simply just beaten by a better team. And then the 0-27 stretch from the Rockets in game seven last year of the Western Conference Finals. It's a combination of randomness, playing better opponents, but NBA fans that don't like James Harden have a way of pulling those things out of context and then acting as though James Harden in bigger moments is not the same guy as he is over the balance of the regular season when he's simply unstoppable. He's the reigning MVP, and honestly, he should be a three-time and four MVP and going for his fourth in 5 years this year, if not for some of the narratives that have been against him. I truly believe that. So to see James Harden rise several times, again, they had every excuse to fold the Rockets tonight. I know it's not a back-to-back situation, but down by 20 in the second half early on, down by 6 with a minute to go, down late in overtime after just a stunning missed call in which Kevin Durant took 4 steps out of bounds in a tie game. Should have been the Rockets ball, tie game, 20 seconds left. Somehow Durant was able to save the ball to Curry, who scored. The refs missed the call, and it just seemed like, hey, if the Warriors are going to get that bounce, that break, it's their night. And every time the Rockets could chalk it up to an excuse, the officiating, not having Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, James Harden did not let them do it. And be it going to his left, going to his right, getting to the free throw line, whenever the Rockets needed an answer, James Harden provided it. And yes, this was a heavyweight bout, because the Warriors, having lost to the Rockets already, and this puts the Rockets up 2-0 in the season series. By the way, the last 2 regular seasons and the postseason, the Rockets and Warriors have played 12 times. The Rockets have now won 7 of those games, so they match up just fine. I certainly don't think there's a confidence problem within the Houston locker room. If anything, I think it was Golden State having been pushed to the limit by the Rockets in the playoffs and then lost by 20-plus points in November that went into this, seeing the Rockets having won 5 in a row, 10 of 11, only 2 games behind them entering tonight in the loss column, that went into it with a point to prove, and somehow the Rockets overcame all of that. And to me, what stands out is with James Harden having no other All-Star help or even close to All-Star help alongside him to get them to the finish line in the fashion in which he did, it shows you that, no, there's nothing flukish or referee-based to his numbers. And I think all of us that watch the Rockets on a regular basis know that already. But as far as some of the narratives that are out there, they're silly. They're hogwash. He's done this throughout his career, but to see him do it against this opponent, a motivated Golden State Warriors team that had every reason to win, a 20-point lead in the second half, a 6-point lead with barely over a minute to go, to lead the Rockets back time after time, 44 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. To me, it is the pinnacle regular season performance of James Harden's career. I think if you asked him, he'd probably say the Game 5 that he had in the Western Conference Finals back in 2012 against the Spurs, that was when Harden was with the Thunder, was probably his peak overall performance simply because that was the swing game in the series that got the Thunder to the NBA Finals. But other than that, because it's the playoffs, I would say this is James Harden's masterpiece. And even relative to that, in that one, look, he had a hot fourth quarter. This one, he dominated the game, and he didn't really have the help. So if there was anyone out there that thought James didn't have the merits of, say, a LeBron James, a Kevin Durant, a Steph Curry as truly a top five type, to see him win that game, yeah, that's another feather in his cap. No, this isn't like Anthony Davis in which he's putting up all these numbers, but the team is losing. No, they've won 6 in a row, all without Chris Paul, 11 of 12 overall. And by the way, for those fixating on the free throws, he got to the line 9 times all night long, did not even get to double-digit attempts in free throws in a game that went 53 minutes, the regular 48, plus overtime, still in single-digit free throws. So the refs didn't give him a damn thing. He went out and earned it. He is an amazing, beautiful basketball player. It is, as I've said for days now, the most breathtaking run I have ever seen as a Houston basketball fan. I'm not putting him ahead of Hakeem because ultimately he's got to win rings to get to that level. I understand that, but if you are a Houston basketball fan right now, enjoy it. Because Harden's been putting up these comedic numbers for a while. Again, over his last 11 games, he's averaging more than 40 points per game. He's been 35 and 5+. Tonight, he just shattered that for 9 straight games, which broke a record that was previously held by Oscar Robertson at 7. He hit 10 threes in Steph Curry's house tonight. He played good defense down the stretch, too. Had a couple of influential blocks, a steal. He set the tone for the Rockets. He played 44 minutes. And what was most impressive about it, on a night when the Rockets were down so many times, didn't have the horses. I said it on my Twitter timeline at Ben Dubose several times. I just didn't believe the Rockets had the pieces. They had every excuse to wilt. Not only did Harden not let them wilt, and they stayed competitive, but then when there were the key inflection points late in the game, every time they were down, he had the answer. It is a masterpiece. Even by James Harden standards, this is the finest that I have ever seen him play. And because of that, the Rockets somehow, the same squad that was 11-14 not even a month ago, is now 22-15 and only one game back in the loss column of the Warriors because they've now won six straight games and 11 of their last 12. Simply incredible. Salute to the Rockets. Salute to James Harden. Appreciate what you have, Houston, because this is simply incredible. Now, as we continue our 3 points recap, I led with James Harden because certainly 44-15-10, this was his night. And then the crossover three over both Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, basically a double team. And Harden was fouled too. Draymond landed in Harden's landing space. So it was just a brutal last 30 seconds for the refs. Fortunately, it didn't matter. Hashtag ball don't lie. And James Harden willed the Rockets to the finish line. But while James got him to the finish line, he certainly was not alone. And to me, other than James, the big standout tonight was Clint Capella. And what's fascinating to me is how this game turned in the middle of it. The Rockets were down double digits in the rebounding battle at the half. In the first quarter, Kevon Looney seemed to be dominating, getting every loose ball. And somehow, by the end of the game, the Rockets actually won the rebounding battle 48-47. And before you knew it, in 46 minutes, a team high, Clint Capella had 29 points on 20 and 21 rebounds on 12 of 19 shooting, including 5 of 5 from the line. He's been above 60% from the free throw line really ever since the start of November. He's put in a ton of work with John Lucas, and that's really important because it helps him stay on the floor. If his stamina is up, well, the only other reason he might not be able to play the minutes you'd like for a guy that's a quasi-star level, which Clint can be at times, is if other teams can hack him. Well, he's been shooting above 60% for a while, and in this game, it felt like all 5 of his free throws were in pressure-packed situations, especially with a minute left when he got the and one when the Rockets were down 6. That free throw was huge because that's what put them within 3, one possession, to where Harden's 3, the next possession, actually could tie the game. So Clint, he made his free throws. That's enormous. Salute to him and John Lucas for putting in the work. But really, what impressed me most was how he turned it seemingly on a dime. Because Kevon Looney, the Warriors, they seem to have all the energy early on. The Rockets weren't getting the loose balls. If you look at Clint Capella's Twitter mentions, they were not friendly in the first half of this game. He seemed to have trouble staying on the court. And it was somewhat reminiscent of the Western Conference Finals, in which even though he was a good player, he wasn't as dominant as you would like him to be. And there were stretches, especially when the Warriors went small, to where you wondered, could he stay on the floor? And to see him in this matchup, not just in Houston, because the Western Conference Finals, generally the way it went, when the Rockets played in Houston, they could somewhat dictate the pace, they got a few more calls, and Clint played more minutes. It was especially the games in Oakland when it got to that more helter-skelter, frenetic pace that he couldn't stay on the floor. So to see a game in Oakland where the Warriors were feeling good, by the way, this wasn't like the Warriors played poorly. In addition to the fact that they were motivated, I mentioned that earlier, you look at their minutes total. Steph Curry, 40, Klay Thompson, 43, Kevin Durant, 42, Draymond Green, 37. But look at their shooting. They shot 52% from the field, nearly 38% from three. Klay Thompson, 11 of 20, 4 of 8 from 3. Steph Curry, 14 of 27, made 5 threes. Durant, 10 of 23, although PJ Tucker did guard him very well late. Klay Thompson on the year for the Rockets has been the guy, or Klay Thompson for the Warriors has been analogous to Eric Gordon on the Rockets, in that he's shot an unsustainably low figure all season long. And just as Rockets fans have said, okay, when is Eric Gordon going to have his progression to the mean set of games in which he shoots, say, 4 of 8 from 3, which Klay did tonight, and boosts his percentages back closer to their career norms? Well, the Rockets didn't even have Eric Gordon tonight, out for a second straight game with a bruised knee. They also didn't have Chris Paul, out with a strained hamstring. The Warriors had that progression to the mean game from Klay Thompson. They played really well, had all 4 of their All-Stars, both of their MVPs, Durant, Curry, Thompson, all scored 26-plus points, and yet the Rockets still won. That's what's incredible. The Rockets were shorthanded, and it wasn't like the Warriors didn't want the game. No, they played hard. They had all of their guys. They played well. They made shots. 52% overall, 38% from three, and yet the Rockets still won. That's what's so incredible about this. And of course, I think a lot of it goes back to the presence of Clint Capella. Because in these games in the Western Conference Finals a year ago, when the Warriors started making shots, when things got frenetic, Capella just could not stay on the floor. Tonight, he did, and there were some tactical adjustments. The Rockets dropped him a bit more than they did in the Western Conference Finals, but it wasn't like they didn't switch at all. No, he switched a decent bit. The biggest difference, in my opinion, was that Capella just had more stamina. He was able to stay out there for 46 minutes, and he clearly didn't tire. He scored late in the fourth quarter and in overtime. He hit his free throws, and to have your big guy playing the most minutes on the team, that's admirable. The Rockets didn't play Nene at all. I don't think they see him as a good matchup for the switches that the Warriors can pull you into. That's why early in the year, the Rockets had Isaiah Hartenstein playing major minutes against the Warriors, and he fared pretty well. Hartenstein at the G League level now, though, the Rockets don't see a 36-year-old Nene as conducive to this matchup. So Capella went 46 minutes, and to see him answer the bell, it is so, so encouraging. Certainly, anytime he has 21-plus rebounds, then the Rockets farewell. That's something we've talked about before when he's a rebounding presence, because that's when the Rockets, all season long, they've been a bottom-of-the-league team in defensive rebounding, and he didn't let that happen tonight. Also had 9 offensive boards, which were helpful in getting the Rockets a lot of second-chance opportunities. But Capella rebounding, certainly, it helps mitigate a big weakness for the Rockets collectively all season long. But beyond just him being active on the glass and finishing at the rim 12 of 19, the bigger thing is just being able to trust him in the clutch. We have not seen that before against the Warriors. And some of it, it's been not necessarily that he played that poorly in the clutch. It's been that Mike D'Antoni just didn't necessarily trust him. In this case, Mike D'Antoni saw something out of Clint Capella that he could trust. And boy, was he rewarded. So to me, while James Harden certainly got the Rockets to the finish line, it's what Clint Capella showed you that might be the real eye-opener. Because even a year ago in the Western Conference Finals, the matchups in Golden State at Oracle Arena, especially when the Warriors were hitting threes, the crowd got going into it, the officials seemed to be going the Warriors' way, those were games in which Clint Capella seemed to at least somewhat check out and fade a bit. Clint, he's now still just 24 years old, season 5, he says he's still growing. And in this case, in my opinion, even in his 5th year, even after getting the big contract in the offseason, you could see that growth. If Clint Capella can stay on the floor against the Warriors, that opens up a world of additional opportunities for this Rockets team if they play the Warriors in the playoffs. So to me, if James Harden is your number one storyline, Clint Capella is number 2 with a bullet. Because to see the guy that in Oracle, that same arena last year, not just in the playoffs, but the regular season as well, all of a sudden be able to play 46 minutes and make big plays, including free throws when it mattered, yeah, that's a big evolution, a big step forward in his game. And down the road, it could pay real dividends for a Rockets team that, it's not that they can outscore the Warriors. When you think back to the Western Conference Finals, I know the recipe was different because they had Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back then. But generally speaking, the Rockets had to win by mucking it up. They can't win by pushing the pace against a team that's that loaded. So you need to be able to get the Warriors out of their comfort zone. And the best way to do that, you have a big guy that controls the glass, gets you second chance opportunities, doesn't let the Warriors get that many of their own. And ultimately, while the Rockets had to play a little bit higher pace tonight simply because of their personnel, it's not like they could make it a half-court game truly and expect to win without the presence of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. So tonight, they had to just hope James Harden was Superman, and he was. But down the road, if you get this version of Clint Capella and the ability to control the glass and finish in traffic, and more importantly than all of that, stay on the court, and then you pair it with James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon, that's something that a year ago, even if those names were there, the Rockets couldn't trust that on an every game basis, especially not against the Warriors in Oracle. Tonight, even in year 5, it was a big step for Clint Capella. Very positive step forward, that is. Salute to him for that, and keep an eye on it. The Rockets still have 2 more games with the Warriors this season, but if Clint Capella is more playable, then yeah, that's a huge development for the Rockets in their chances against the Warriors in the playoffs this year relative to what we saw in that 7-game series that was so close a year ago. Now, as we finish out the podcast, a few other thoughts. Clearly, the top 2 storylines for the Rockets, James Harden and Clint Capella. Harden, 44, 15, and 10. Capella, 29, and 21. But there were a couple of other newcomers that stood out to me. Now, I don't want to forget Gerald Green. Gerald had 16 points, 6 of 13 shooting, made 3 three-pointers, and he was instrumental, especially in the second half, of keeping the Rockets afloat when the game could have gotten away. But I don't think that's anything new. We know that Gerald certainly doesn't shrink from the moment. He had some big games against Golden State a year ago. And with Gerald, it's basically a lottery ticket. You know that if you let him fire enough threes, some of them are going to go in. He's certainly not afraid of the moment. So that, to me, is not that much of a revelation. The two guys that I was really encouraged by were Daniel House Jr. and Austin Rivers. Rivers, 18 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds in 44 minutes. Also thought he played pretty quality defense on Steph Curry in overtime. Seemed to blow by him at will offensively and at least collapse the Warriors' defense at times also. And then Daniel House, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 3 from behind the arc in 39 minutes, and plus 6, which is the best on the entire Rockets team in the plus-minus. Really, you don't have that many extreme plus-minus figures either way because this game was very tightly contested and also a somewhat tight Rockets rotation. Also, by the way, we shouldn't forget Brandon Knight. He had a big 3 in the fourth quarter, one of his first with the Rockets, and 5 points, 2 assists, 12 minutes. He was playable, even in a tough environment in Oracle. So it's a long road back for Brandon, but keep your eyes peeled for that as well. But it's really Rivers and House that were so intriguing because one of the things you always wonder when you have newcomers with the Rockets, and that's what Rivers and House really are, even, you know, 6 weeks ago, neither of these guys was on the roster. So now that they're both starting, and they're not going to have both of them start long-term, at most one of them will, but clearly they're guys that have been instrumental in this current stretch, 6 straight wins, 11 or 12. Rockets actually have not lost a game since signing Austin Rivers. And Rockets fans believe in their ability, whether it be in the starting lineup or off the bench, to be contributors in the playoff series. The question is, how do they play against Golden State? Because when the Warriors have all of their playmakers out there, until you see it, and especially in that gym, there are questions. Are they smart enough? Are they disciplined enough to stay with the likes of KD, Klay Thompson, if he's on, Steph Curry? Are they going to get phased by the environment? Because when Oracle gets going, there's no other NBA arena like it, in my opinion. And to see House and Rivers contribute the way they did, a combined 35 points between them, 10 of 23 shooting, 6 of 12, 50% from behind the arc. Not a whole lot of turnovers either, just one between them. The Rockets actually had just one turnover in the entire second half. For the game, they had just 10, and when you want to steal a game like this, when you don't have as much talent, I always say you have to value possessions. That's something the Rockets did. Only 10 turnovers combined as a team. The Warriors had 14, and while it's not a huge difference, at the same time for a Rockets team that's somewhat turnover prone when things go wrong, that's a positive development. And certainly Rivers and House, thinking about Gary Clark, because he's one guy I haven't mentioned who did get a few minutes in this one as well. But for Daniel House and Austin Rivers, the two guys who played 39 and 44 minutes respectively, to see them not only contribute and make big shots, but to do it in that environment and to not get run off the floor, even with guys like KD, Klay, and Steph all playing relatively well, that's encouraging. Again, at the end of the day, it's one game. It's January. I understand all of that. But what you're looking for at this point, besides wins, because with the win, the Rockets are just winning one game with the Warriors in the loss column. But beyond that, what you take from the regular season, and I do think this translates, think back to the competitiveness we saw from the Rockets when they beat the Warriors on that season opener a year ago, and especially on that Saturday night game in January at Toyota Center, and even the game that they lost in early January a year ago, about the same time on a Thursday night, a TNT game in Houston. It was when the Rockets were without James Harden with the hamstring injury, and it was right when they had signed Gerald Green, and he scored nearly 30 points, I think. And even though the Rockets lost that game, you could tell a couple of things. Number one, the culture of the team was good, that even without James Harden, there were no excuses. They went at the Warriors, and they had a chance. And beyond that, you could see that certain role players, especially Gerald Green, who you had signed off the street, you wondered, would they rise to the occasion? How do they match up? Well, even though it was the regular season, you saw some things for the team collectively and Gerald individually that would translate. And that's what I think we saw tonight. The team collectively, the culture, they had every excuse to say, hey, this is a loss. We're not as talented of a team. The Rockets did not take those excuses. They went out and earned it. And the role players that have been instrumental in this streak, Austin Rivers, Daniel House, but are still relatively new in the grand scheme, it's easy to say that it's a small sample size, wait and see what happens. And this is the type of game that you wait for. You want to see how they respond under the lights. And boy, did they ever respond. So with that, I'll wrap up an abbreviated post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm tired. I'm running on fumes. But I wanted to get something out tonight because, boy, this is as excited about a regular season Rockets win as I can ever remember. I'm sure we'll have more thoughts in the days ahead. Of course, the Rockets can't rest on their laurels that long because they do have another game Saturday night in Portland, another good Western Conference team. It's really a tough schedule for the time being, at Portland on Saturday, then home for Denver and Milwaukee, who lead the West and the East at the moment, so it doesn't get easier for a while. But sometimes you need to stop and smell the roses, and that's what this one should be for the Rockets, because not just winning at Oracle, that's always sweet, but to do it without Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, again, if there were any concerns about, well, the Rockets, they lost Chris Paul in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Are they just going to fold without him? No, the Rockets honestly had a chance. If they weren't that unlucky in Game 7 with 0 of 27 from 3, they might have somehow taken the Game 7. And to see them go in that gym and not wilt under the pressure, especially with a 20-point deficit in the second half, it speaks to the character, the culture of this team. They're not just hot. They have genuinely turned a corner, led by their MVP in James Harden. And, of course, he's getting the help. Clint Capella much more playable against the Warriors than he was a year ago. And the newcomers that have been so instrumental of late, Austin Rivers, Daniel House, yeah, they look pretty damn playable against the Warriors as well. So between those three things, I feel pretty good about this Rockets team. We'll analyze the X's and O's more in the coming days, I'm sure. But for tonight, I just wanted to get some initial thoughts out there. So with that, this is where we'll leave off. As always, thank y'all so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, a website, lockedonrockets.com. Always, you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or you, the human being. Don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you're not subscribed to the show already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, or if you're a voice assistant guy, then say play podcast Locked On Rockets to Alexa or whatever your voice assistant may be, and you can find us that way. But yeah, if you would be kind enough to listen and subscribe, that's how we can boost our subscriber figures. And if you'd be really kind to us, leave a 5-star review so that we can look attractive to potential advertisers, boost our subscriber figures, and keep the business model rolling here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, a final plug I want to toss out. If you would be kind enough to also consider following our Locked On NBA Net Twitter and Instagram pages, that's how you can get insight from all around the NBA. So if you want some bitter takes from the Golden State Warriors fan community or some thoughts from the Portland Trailblazers, Denver Nuggets, or anyone else upcoming on the Rockets schedule, then follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram, and you can hear from local experts comparable to myself in those other cities trying to do what I do, or at least attempt to do, here in Houston. So with those plugs out of the way, this is where we'll sign off. Once again, the incredibly happy final, Rockets 135, Warriors 134 from Oracle Arena. The Rockets have now won 6 consecutive games, all without Chris Paul, 11 of their last 12, somehow improving to 22-15 on the season, and now 2-0 against the defending champion Golden State Warriors, clinching at worst a split in the season series. How sweet it is. With that, have a good night, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.